Welcome to worship on this toasty Sunday morning. In fact, presiding bishop of the ELCA, Elizabeth Eaton, declared it a no-robe Sunday. Well, I think she would if she knew how hot it was. So, welcome to worship. Welcome to those who are joining us via the internet. It is always good when the body of Christ comes together to worship the one from whom all blessings flow. I am Kim Krogstad, a retired ELCA pastor and member here at Central. And as you probably know, Pastor Lori is on sabbatical, so it's no surprise she's not here. But you may have also noticed Ben is not here, which may be a surprise, but not to worry. During the month of July, our sibling congregations, Emmaus, United, and Central, we are joined in a season of creation, sharing liturgy and lessons and other activities. And so we're also sharing pastors. It's kind of a musical chair of pastors, musical pastors, if you will. And our different pastors are preaching in different congregations. Pastor Ben gave me a detailed chart of who's going to be where and when, but I didn't understand it. So you'll just have to trust that he will be back next Sunday. But today, we are delighted to welcome Pastor Andrew Langford, who serves at Emmaus Lutheran. He is our guest preacher, and we thank you, Pastor, for your proclamation. We continue with the opening liturgy. Come, worship the God of creation. Come, worship our God, who breathes life into being. Come, worship our God who forms life out of soil.
We praise the Creator
whose Come, worship our God who receives our lament in the wilderness.
We praise the Creator whose Son brings healing to all creation.
Come, worship our God who sends water flowing with life. In water, we are joined to Christ and the entirety of the Trinity in the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives into the new creation with your forgiveness, grace, and love. Amen. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able for our opening hymn.
Oh,
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God, the universe sings of your glory. You've made a covenant with us and with all living things, and you root us in your love. Deepen our gratitude for all you have made and awaken in us a renewed commitment to care for your earth and each other, living out your covenantal care. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The first reading is from Genesis chapter 9. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And when I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." The word of the Lord. The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 3. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. And I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now, to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Gospel reading comes from the first chapter of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Jesus said, I tell you, if the people were silent, the very stones would shout out. You may be seated. Well, good morning to you all. Very happy to be with you this morning. Thank you to Pastor Kim for offering me such a soft landing. And also, I like this whole no robe thing. It's nice and cool. I want to extend warm greetings to you from Emmaus Lutheran in this season of creation. I always have a deep sense of satisfaction whenever we do these collaborative things, even if it's just pastor swapping, because I believe it communicates something that is at the core of what we value as people of God. Namely this. We are a people who are not on this sojourn in life alone. We walk together. In a world that is increasingly fragmented and polarized and alienated from social connection, I rejoice and give thanks that our little corner of Christendom, our little Southside ELCA collaboration is alive and well. We work to transcend that regrettable norm. Last week, as we followed our very own lectionary, custom made for you for the season of creation, we talked about the fact that we are creation. We, all of us here, are creation. We're connected with creation. Creation is not so much only, you know, out there, but Pastor Ben made the point that creation is in here. This week, we are exploring the ideas of rootedness and reciprocity with the earth. Just as we care for the earth and all creation, we too are cared for by the earth. We are in relationship with creation in a very profound an intimate way. For instance, perhaps you are a person who spends hours in your garden cultivating the most magnificent orchestra and tapestry of nature. Is that any of you? I am not that person. I cultivate weeds and pluck them sometimes. Or maybe you are one of the many humans who shares your home with a little pet. Anyone have pets here? Yeah, we have some pet people here. I am one of you. I'm one of those pet people. I share my home with a delightful little dog. Her name's Emily. She is a little 10-pound white pup with these oversized ears that makes her look like a perpetual puppy. I often think that it is, you know, part of my gift to humanity that I walk her out into public. People slow down to observe her cuteness. But our relationship to creation is not just limited to our choices to maybe tend a garden or raise a pet, whether they have four legs or no legs or wings. The fact that we are made for creation and creation for us becomes evident in the fact that we humans flourish when we are closer to nature. Did you know, for instance, that researchers have discovered measurable health benefits from spending even 5 minutes in an old-growth forest? Did anyone know that? I'm teaching you things. That's great. There's a practice originating in Japan known as forest bathing. It's a way of mindfully engaging the healing power of green spaces. Evergreen forests especially tend to release this barrage of what are known as phytoncides, essentially naturally occurring airborne essential oils that boost our immune function. According to researchers, even spending just 5 minutes in a green space can lower your blood pressure, reduce stress, improve mood, increase the ability to focus, accelerate recovery from surgery or illness, and increase energy levels and improve sleep. That's pretty good stuff. Anyone need that? Now I realize that we are on the tail end of a truly epic allergy season in the Willamette Valley. And so if there's some deep skepticism about the idea that being outside is good for you is kind of cropping up, believe me, I understand. Maybe you'd benefit more from a little bit of time at the ocean, watching the endless waves wash to and fro. Whatever part of creation you gravitate toward, forest bathing or ocean gazing or something else, the benefits of dwelling in nature help us understand the depth of our relationship with creation. Our biblical texts are full of examples of how we are in relationship with creation. And furthermore, how creation continues to express its relationship with God and with us. In Scripture, creation, and especially the earth, is an agent in the divine drama of history. In our text, Genesis 9 this morning, we see that God creates a covenant not just with Noah and his family and their descendants, right, all of us, but also with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth, as many as came out of the ark. The non-animal part of creation is also party to the covenant, since the clouds and the waters and the rainbows bear witness to God's promise not to destroy the earth again via flood. Not only is creation given assurances by God in our text, but creation also plays a role in the ongoing story. Creation has agency. That's not something we typically think about. The earth and the heavens act as witnesses to the covenant God makes with the Israelites at Sinai. When Israel breaks this covenant, earth itself grieves and cries out. But the earth doesn't only cry out in pain, it also cries out in joy and jubilation. In Psalm 65, the very hills rejoice. In Psalm 100, the earth makes a joyful noise. In Psalm 96, the trees and seas sing for joy. In our psalm for today, the floods clap their hands and the hills sing together for joy. In all of this, we see emerging a kind of divine triangle between God, humanity, and the rest of creation. Through this relationship, creation reminds us of how we are to relate to God. Just as creation praises God, the right posture for us is one of praise. Just as creation responds to God's call and summons to covenant faithfulness, so too are we called to follow God and God's commandments to be filled with the love of God. And yet, when we think about our relationship with creation, and especially what it means to be filled with the fullness of God's love for all God has made, I think it can be hard for us to be truly at ease. We have something of a fraught relationship with the rest of creation. We depend on the earth for our sustenance, but we know that humans have degraded and abused the earth as well. We love the earth and its creatures, especially all our furry and feathered friends that we have in our homes, but we also often look the other way when we hear about unethical practices in industrial-scale factory farming of animals, resulting in the suffering of untold millions of creatures. Our tendency toward urban sprawl leads to the killing of species that compete with us for farmlands and resources. Our culture's best efforts to remedy our wastefulness feels especially anemic. Will reducing, reusing, and recycling really slow the degradation of our friend and home, the earth? And I think it's here, when we get to this point of deep existential questioning, that God calls us to reimagine and re-envision our relationship to creation. As we more fully live into the divine triangle of relationship with God, humanity, and creation, we begin to think of the earth not only as this temporary home we're just a passing through, but we think of our creation as a friend. We have a relationship with the earth. That's certain. But will it be an antagonistic relationship or a positive one? Will we continue to live as though the earth and all its creatures are simply here for us to use and throw away? Or can we begin to love God's creation as God does? I think our scripture from Ephesians helps us in this regard. In this prayer, we see that the people of God can be empowered to comprehend the incomprehensible. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge? This is how we, as creation, become filled with the fullness of God. In an effort to convey just how powerful this fullness is, this prayer seems to evoke a four-dimensional reality that transcends our finite sensibilities of time and space. And yet, it's also a profoundly simple prayer, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we may be rooted and grounded in love. As we move forward in this season of creation, remembering that we are rooted and grounded in love gives us creativity and courage to respond with grace and hope instead of despair at what we face. God's call to us, human beings in relationship with planet Earth, is to remember our rootedness, to love our friend, the Earth. We are all planted somewhere. And as we dig our toes into this dirt, we remember that we, too, are dirt, and to dirt we shall return. We are part of a divine triangle of relationship with God, humanity, and creation. And by God's grace, we can humbly and reciprocally love all God has made. As Paul says elsewhere, love never fails. Thanks be to God, who creates us anew as a people of incomprehensible love. Amen.
With the whole church, let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of faith, the resurrection of the body, and the life of God. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray for all people and for this world that God so loves. Creator of heaven and earth, you filled this world with rivers and streams, mountains and seas, flowers and trees, with birds of the air and fish of the sea. All of creation sings your glory and generosity. From the earth, we whom you have made in your image and likeness receive food for our bodies and beauty for our souls. Forgive us for our selfishness and short-sightedness, using these gifts for ourselves alone with little concern for the generations that follow. Forgive us for being consumers rather than caretakers. Because of our foolish choices, now many around the world suffer from extreme weather conditions, from floods and oppressive heat. Open our minds and hearts so that we might reimagine our relationship with the creation and give us the will to care and restore all you have made. God, in your mercy. Friend of the poor, the migrant, the oppressed, misery and hopelessness and death have a stranglehold on many around the world. Hunger, drought, war and threats of war, denial of basic human rights abound. You have called us to follow you and to open our eyes so that we might see those in need in faraway places and in our own neighborhoods. May your church, may we be agents of your healing and hope. God, in your mercy. Holy Spirit, who calls, gathers, and enlightens the whole church, we give thanks for the gospel that makes all things new and for the sacraments that strengthen and embolden us to do your work with our hands. May we ever be faithful in using these gifts you have given for the sake of the world. Lord, in your mercy. Healer of our every ill, we lift before you those whom we love who are in need of your presence and strength. Chuck Dietz, David Zhao's relatives, Gay and Dal Haverland, Terry Chapp, Gretchen and Jeff Sinas, Doug and Jody Martin, and those who we name out loud or in the quietness of our hearts. Katie. God, in your mercy. Lord of life, we continue to commend to you those who now rest in you, confidence of the day when we will be reunited in the resurrection. This day we especially pray for the family and friends of Doug McEwen, the brother of Gay Haverland, who was killed in a car accident. Comfort those who mourn with your promises. God, in your mercy. Into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, confident in your mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let's stand and share the peace as you are comfortable. Peace of the Lord. Peace of the Lord. Thank you. Peace of the Lord. Peace of the Lord. Coming from behind. Peace of the Lord. Our offering will be taken as you come forward for communion. us pray. God of field and forest, sea and sky, you are the giver of all good things. Sustain us with these gifts of your creation and multiply your graciousness in us that the world may be fed with your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed our duty and our delight that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, holy and almighty God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of life everlasting. And so with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. How majestic is your name in all the earth. Over the eons, your merciful might evolved our home, a fragile tree of life. Here, by your wisdom, are both life and death, growth and decay, the nest and the hunt, sunshine and storm, darkness and light. Sustained by these wonders, we creatures of dust join in the ancient song. The earth is full of your glory. O God triune, you took our flesh and Jesus our healer. In Christ you bring life from death. We remember his cross. We laud his resurrection. Broken like bread, he enlivens our body. Outpoured like wine, he fills the earth with goodness. Receiving this mystery, we mortals sing our song. The earth is full of your glory. We praise you for the heart of Jesus, so filled with your love and this earth. In the night which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant, shed in my blood and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in memory of me." Gathered around this table, we, your children, unite in this song, "The earth is full of your glory." O God triune, you create the worlds, you uphold the living, you embrace the dead. Send forth your spirit and renew the face of the earth. Strengthen us for our journey with this meal, the body and blood of Christ. Give us a future that trusts in you and cares for your earth. Empowered by your promise, we rise from our deaths to praise you again. The earth is full of your glory.
The earth is full of your glory.
Amen and amen.
Amen and amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The one who created heaven and earth invites you to come and take this bread of life and drink this cup of salvation. All are welcome at this table of grace. You may be seated. Please come forward down the center aisle, and you will receive the bread, and then you may intinct or dip it into the chalice. One side has red wine, the other side has white grape juice. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Please stand for the blessing. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you in his grace. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we live and move, and in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and serve the world in Jesus' name. Amen. The God who calls across the cosmos and speaks in the smallest seed, keep and sustain and bless you now and to the end of the age. Amen.
Harvest.
Thanks.